The New York Times reported this week that a petition is circulating to ask Governor George Pataki to pardon Lenny Bruce. Mr. Bruce may need a little introduction these days. He was a comedian, not just a bearded, brooding martyr for the First Amendment who was sent into suicide by brutish prosecutors, but a working, sweating comic who told mother-in-law jokes, imitated Jimmy Cagney, and was prepared to say or do anything, anything, to get a laugh. He died at his own hands from a heroin overdose in 1966, 2 years after he'd been convicted on obscenity misdemeanor charges, word crimes, according to the statute. He'd used graphic colloquial language to describe oral sex in monologues delivered at New York's Café Agogo. I have a distant personal connection. My father worked with Lenny Bruce at the Charles Club in Baltimore and the Gate of Horn in Chicago. Mr. Bruce was Leonard Alfred Schneider then. He wrote about those days in his 1963 book, How to Talk Dirty and Influence People. My father respected Lenny Bruce's talent and thought that he wasted it by telling dirty jokes and squirting junk into his veins. He thought he was a good comedian and a mean man, which is not an uncommon combination in show business. To be fair, my father's disdain may have been aggravated by his own problems, drinking, not drugs, and his envy of Lenny Bruce's success. Howard Solomon, who owned Café Agogo, had his own obscenity conviction overturned in 1965, but Mr. Bruce insisted on representing himself in appellate court. His defense made for a good show, but bad law. Mr. Bruce missed filing deadlines, mocked the court, and irritated the judges. His conviction stood. It was a simple misdemeanor for which he probably could have paid a small fine and earned back hundreds of thousands of dollars with increased bookings. But instead, Lenny Bruce's trials drove him into a personal tailspin. He became depressed, drug-dependent, and, worst of all for a comedian, unemployable. Comic Margaret Cho, who's helping to circulate the petition, says she feels a personal debt to Lenny Bruce 37 years after he died. She believes that he freed comedy to have pertinence and bite, even as it may also sometimes offend, or worse, bore. We consider him like a messianic figure, she says. He died so we could be free. The idea that just under 40 years ago a man was prosecuted in the United States for something called word crimes sounds Orwellian and incredible today. My father, who was not Lenny Bruce's fan, also used to find it incredible that people who professed to be offended by his act so often quoted and recreated the very jokes that most appalled them. Maybe Lenny Bruce didn't make us free, but freer to laugh, sneer at, or ignore whatever we want.
I'm not gonna lie to you. It's in the minutes. I'm not gonna lie to you. All right. The DA. The guy said blah blah blah. Look at him. He's smug. He's not gonna repent. Then I dug something. They sort of like saying blah blah blah. Because they said it a few extra times.